This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Are you qualified to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? Our Lord chose seemingly ordinary men as his apostles to continue the work of his church unto the world. We are going to talk about what it takes to be one of his workers and the importance of that work in our world in today's message entitled, Carriers of the Gospel.
Is the church less listened to today than it was a generation ago? We're going to talk about this in a sermon. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, you have given us tremendous responsibility in being faithful witnesses to your word. That word which the Holy Spirit uses to build the kingdom of God. Grant as we listen to what your word has to say to us today, that we may examine ourselves and make amends wherever it is necessary. For we know that your church must be organized well, according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, our Lord wants his church to be in the hands of people who are responsible, committed, and living in a personal relationship with him. That has always been his desire. It is a necessity if the church is to be the church. Therefore, Luke writes in the sixth chapter of his gospel that Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray all night for his Father to guide him in the choosing of those people who were to be appointed as the apostles. It was a very important item on Jesus' agenda. And then when morning came, He called his disciples, and in front of them he said, I now announce to you the 12 who are going to be the apostles. And he named them Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, sons of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. If you want that list of names, it is found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 12. These were very, very important men as far as our Lord Jesus Christ were concerned. It's interesting to look at them. They were not necessarily wealthy people. In fact, they weren't wealthy. Peter and Andrew, James and John were fishermen. And I like to think of them as people who were making a responsible living and feeding their families and raising their children as best they could. They were neither educated, formally educated. You would have thought that Jesus would have gone to such people as the scribes, priests, rulers who had been in school and studied under the learned theologians of the day. But he chose not to. He was not concerned about that. They were ordinary people. Peter, James, John, and many others like them. They were a people who had an eyewitness of Jesus' life. That means that they had been with him during those years that he had been walking over Judea and Samaria, raising the dead, healing the sick, proclaiming the word as man had never heard it proclaimed before. They, on an external basis, really knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, did they? Probably not. We'll see that later on. But they had an eyewitness of Jesus' life from 30 until 33. Then they had seen him after the resurrection. Now he had suffered and died, and they had put him in the grave, and they had seen all of this. But then to be an apostle, they had to have a personal visitation with him after the resurrection. You recall how they were abiding in somebody's home or some other place, and here came Jesus after his resurrection. And you recall also that Thomas was not there with him on one particular occasion when he came back, and he said, unless I can put my fingers into those nail-pierced hands and my fist into that sword-pierced side, I cannot and I will not recant. Then came the day when our Lord Jesus Christ said, look, Thomas, there's the nail-pierced hand. There's the sword-pierced side. Thomas was taken back. He said, my Lord and my God, and Jesus quickly said to him, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. But from that day on, Thomas was a believer. So the third thing that they were to do was to go out and preach this message of salvation through the atoning work of Christ on the cross at Calvary, and to go to the far corners of the earth. But it was not until they really experienced Pentecost that they began to see, now it's time to go. Now I have it all put together. And so Peter stood up on that Pentecost Sunday, as you will recall, and told them, look, This Jesus has been raised from the dead. And you were the ones who crucified him. You were the ones who put him in the tomb. But God raised him up. And then Peter let them know that they too could have the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of life everlasting. They too could have it in spite of what they had done. And that day we are told in the second chapter of Acts that 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. Then sometime after that, these apostles began to go about in various parts of their little world. Some of them stayed right around Jerusalem. Others of them went way off into other parts of their little world. One got as far as India. Thomas, we are told, was there. And they would start these little churches. They would get disciples. And after a while, they would appoint a pastor. And those leaders were to be thoroughly convinced and proclaim that truth, that Jesus Christ was Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They were to be committed Christians. But they were also reminded that there was such a thing as excommunication. You recall, we'll backtrack a little bit now, on the night that our Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room before he was crucified, he gave the communion to all of them, and he was listing them again. And he said to them, there is one among us who does not believe. This is Judas Iscariot. But as they went around the circle, they would say, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? And when they came to Judas Iscariot, he said, it is not I, Lord, is it? And Jesus said to him, you have spoken for yourself. And then the scriptures say that Judas went out and hanged himself. In other words, excommunicated. Can that happen today? Certainly. Now, perhaps right here we put our finger on the question with which we began this program. You know, we said at the beginning that Jesus wanted a true church, a church where the leaders understood full well that Christ was God and the Savior of the world. But he said, one among us. And then it was that he was excommunicated, sent on his own, went out to hang himself. What a picture, friend. What a terrible, terrible picture. But if it is weakening today, I wonder if it is not because the church has begun to liberalize itself. I recently heard a man tell of a funeral he had attended. Well, the pastor read that passage of scripture that Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The pastor said there was one day not so long ago that people believed this and that the only way to heaven was through Jesus. Today, this pastor said, we don't believe that. Theological education has taught us that there's other ways. There would be the ways of other religions like the Hindu, like the Buddhist, Islam, Probably there would be some way that they could squeeze even an unbeliever into the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's weakening the message of the church. It is not the message that the Bible tells us is the message of the church. And so if this is something that anybody can belong to and you're all going to get to heaven, then why worry? That is a place that I can see that the church could be weakening, because I too hear some of this. You mean to tell me that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ? I tell you this because I believe the Bible. And the Bible says that this is a proclamation. And I live within the confines of the church. And Jesus expects a church that is faithful to what his word says. It's a very, very important question, my friend, today. Is the church weakening? And if it is, don't you think we ought to give it considerable thought? Here it is in your church, and you're calling a pastor. This is no small job. This is a man or a woman who is going to preach to you every Sunday, who has had theological training, probably at a good seminary where he's ready or she's ready to go, but also possible through one of these really liberal seminaries which makes Jesus primarily a teacher of morals. We can't afford to have in our pulpits people who do not trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We can't afford to have higher officials, sometimes known as bishops, watching over a large group of churches who do not confess from the bottom of their hearts that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to heaven. We can't afford to have theologians teaching in our seminaries that can relax any of these teachings that is found in the scriptures. For when we do, the church ceases to be the church. So I hurry on to say to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, years and years and hundreds of years ago, said the church must be made up of godly men and women who have positions of leadership, and these people will be the leaders of those who need to hear the gospel. I tell you, friend, it is a serious, serious matter. I can relate to you an experience that I have had these last few days. It has been a pretty difficult week for me, and I feel like at times I have stammered a little bit in this sermon because life is just a little bit different. On the 18th of May, my wife of nearly 66 years died. My three children and our loving daughter-in-law had been at her bedside all day. She didn't respond to much of what we said. Sometimes a flicker that gave us a little hope. But we kept on talking and singing the hymns of the church, telling her how much we loved her, quoting portions of the Bible to her, assuring her she would soon be in the presence of Jesus, and telling her we were ready to let her go to her heavenly home. I'll never forget that. When one of our three children put their hands on her head and said, "Mother, you have been a blessing to us. You have raised us in the right way. You have taught us that Jesus is our Savior." And then one added this, and the rest of us followed. "We will be terribly lonesome without you. But you're going to go to heaven. You're not going to a cold grave. You're going to heaven. And until you go to heaven, Jesus is here with us too." And so, the one said, and the rest of us repeated, "Mother, it's hard for me to say it, but because I love you so much, and I want this suffering to cease, I want to say, I'm ready to let you go." And the next one, "I'm ready too, Mother." And the next one, "I'm ready too, Mother." And the next one, "I'm ready too, Mother." And then I said, "Eunice, you have been a lovely wife. Everything that God could give me in a wife. And I'll miss you. But I'm willing to let you go." Shortly thereafter, her breathing stopped, and we committed her in prayer to the Lord Jesus for the rest of eternity. What a way to go. But we must know this, and the church must be under good, consecrated, loving hands. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is that we may bring all of our cares and our hurts to your throne of grace. We can study these truths both in seminaries, in churches, and in individual groups. But it is only when we stand by the bedside of one who is passing from that room into the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity that we can understand what it is to go to heaven. Thank you for that assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has filled you with the desire to remain faithful to God's word as you share it with the world around you. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. We invite you to visit our website, where you can find a printed and audio version of today's program, as well as numerous past episodes of Christian Crusaders. Visit us anytime at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.